This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to Around Macoupin County. My guest on this weekend show is Angela Widener, Chief Operating Officer for the Maple Street Clinic. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
Angela, our topic of conversation today is going to be insect illnesses that could be affecting the area and maybe one's health. And our first topic of conversation is a newer one that's come up in the past few years. And I'm going to ask you about Zika virus. It started off as maybe something that was affecting, the Caribbean islands and places across the oceans, but now it came to Florida, and reports now have it even maybe coming to St. Louis, and there's a lot out there. What can you tell us about Zika at this time?
Zika is spread mostly by the bite of an infected mosquito. It's the Aedes mosquito that spreads it. Right now in the United States, it has affected, there have been reports of the mosquito infected with the Zika virus being present in Florida, mainly Miami-Dade County, and then also in Texas. The CDC does a great job of updating the map daily, so if you're going to travel, you can look and see if any of the areas in the United States have been tested positive for the Zika infected mosquito.
There have been reports, news reports, concerning Zika and the St. Louis area. What do you know about that?
So basically what happens is we're going on vacation season and people travel to the Caribbean or another area infected with the Zika virus, and someone gets bit and they come back here to the United States, St. Louis area, and then they get bit by a mosquito here, and that mosquito can then transmit the Zika to other people in the area. Zika is not a concern for anyone who's not of childbearing age. You might feel like you have like flu-like symptoms, but it doesn't cause any long-term health effects. Zika is of concern for any woman who's of childbearing age and is pregnant or looking to get pregnant or is not preventing pregnancy, and also for any men who might become sexually active, because men can spread it to women for up to 3 months afterwards.
So right now, then, really we don't have quote-unquote Zika-type mosquitoes. It's just that things like this can be passed along, as you described. You go on vacation, you bring it back, and then it gets into the system, I guess you would say.
Yes. If it's just basically, the news reports are telling people to be on alert. It's telling pregnant women not to travel to Zika-infected areas. And for a lot of it is geared towards men and telling men to be safe in regards to them not spreading that to females who could become pregnant.
You alluded to it in the first part of our conversation. Should someone be traveling, say, to Texas or to the Caribbean or to Miami or Florida area, where is this website or where can that information be looked up if they'd like to see more about it?
So they can just go to cdc.gov and just in the top, it's usually on the first page, but they can just type Zika, and then there's a map that shows you which counties it's affected in Texas and in Florida, and then it tells you more directly, which streets, which areas. It's a very good resource.
Moving on from Zika, then, another thing that's become a topic here, it's been around for a while, but it seems, I know they even had some hearings on it in Springfield, is Lyme disease. Now, that's a tick-borne illness, and not all ticks have it, but could you address some about the Lyme disease?
So Lyme disease is spread by the black-legged tick, and it is in mostly like the Midwest area and then like the New York area, that area. There's also a map on the CDC's website that shows you where it's at. It has grown, the population has grown. Not having such a harsh winter, these ticks haven't been killed off as much, so they're expecting a very high tick season. So the best way to prevent this is to make sure that if you are in the woods or outside, that you cover yourself, that you use an EPA-regulated insect repellent, and that when you come inside, you take a shower within 2 hours and then do a tick search of your whole body. When you get bit by a tick, you need to make sure that you remove the tick, not the old wives' tale where you put, nail polish over it or burn the tick off. You need to get some tweezers and try to remove the whole tick, including the mouth. and then watch for a bullseye rash. 80% of people who get Lyme disease will have this bullseye rash when the tick is removed. However, some people do not, so you just need to watch for symptoms afterwards, flu-like symptoms, fever, headache, joint and aches, arthritis-like symptoms. And if you do think that you have any of those symptoms, you can ask your doctor to do a blood test, and if it comes back positive, it's about 2 to 4 weeks of antibiotic treatment.
Now, it can cause some serious side effects if it actually gets into your system and, I guess, affects your body. There's been several serious illnesses related to it, correct?
Correct. A lot of times people just think that they, you know, just have a cold or, you know, maybe something else is going on, so they don't go get the Lyme disease testing. Or their doctors, you know, they might not say, hey, I was in the woods, or hey, I live in this area, so they don't get the testing. So it can cause paralysis. It can cause very serious long-term neurological effects, such as weakness. I've known some people who haven't gotten treated and have ended up in wheelchairs. So it can be a serious disease if not treated. Even those who do get treated with antibiotics for 2 to 4 weeks can have some long-term effects afterwards for six months to a year. And scientists believe that that's just the damage that the illness has done to your neurological system.
One of the insecticides, or not insecticides, but one of the things that's recommended is DEET. Is there any amount you should do?
So the EPA, any EPA-registered insect repellent, so anything that has DEET in it, Bacardian, IR3535, or oil of lemon eucalyptus is a great product to use. You can just look on the label and see what it contains. DEET, you should follow directions, you know, just one spray, you know, every 1 to 2 hours of any exposed area. The best thing to do, though, if you're going to be out in the woods, is to just cover, you know, as much area of your body as you can. And to make sure that if you have animals in the home, that they have, you know, tick prevention, and that if you do have animals, that you've got some tick prevention in your yard as well.
Going along the same path, I know this once was a fairly serious situation, and that was several years ago, but West Nile virus, which is transmitted by mosquitoes, we don't hear about it quite as much anymore. I know they keep track of it, but the serious illnesses seem to have went down. Where does that stand now?
So I will say every summer we have 1 to 2 cases of West Nile that are reported that have ended up causing severe neurological effects. West Nile is in the lower 48 states, and 80% of people who get West Nile from mosquito don't have any symptoms. 1% of people who do get it end up with serious effects, and 10% of that 1% end up dying. The 1% who do have serious effects usually end up with encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain, or meningitis, and that can cause long-term health effects and usually requires an ICU stay as well. And the only way to find out if you have West Nile when you get to that point is through a spinal tap.
What would be the reasoning that it was such a prevalent thing so many years ago, and now, while still present, it's just not, shall we say, as abundant? What do you have is there any findings as to why this occurred?
So more so education and mosquito control. The CDC and local governments have done a really good job about trying to clear up standing water, and also, you know, trying to kill off the West Nile virus. So that's one of the reasons that Zika is so big, started in Brazil, was because they had so much standing water in some of the more lower socioeconomic class areas. So that's one of the big things to remember with all of these illnesses, is to not have standing water outside, still standing water, you know, whether it's in a bucket or, you know, a dog dish, or, you know, just something outside with standing water. That's where insects like to breed, and these illnesses can spread.
And with the mosquito that can transmit West Nile, it's about the same as the tick as far as what you can do to prevent being bitten?
Yes. All of these, unfortunately, have the same same way to prevent them, or I guess that's more fortunate, is to use an EPA-regulated insect repellent to make sure that you reduce any standing water outside, to make sure that you are using some kind of insect repellent around your house and in your yard, and to keep yourself covered when you are outside in areas that, you know, are infected with these insects.
And I guess as we come towards the end of the program, any other maybe related type matters going on that one should be aware of?
Every summer we have the same issue with rabies, and people, and more so children or curious adults wanting to, you know, touch bats or animals that they don't know. So we always just say, do not touch any animals you do not know. Do not pick up any dead animal. And as far as insects go, you know, Zika, just be educated before you travel. The long-term effects of Zika on unborn children aren't known yet. There is more information about that on the CDC's website as well. I will tell you that we've already done some Zika testing in Macoupin County, but those have all been women who have traveled to the Caribbean on a cruise.
Angela Widener, thank you for joining us on Around Macoupin County.
Thank you for having me.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition for WSMI. I'm Rick Davis.